Coming up on today's show, we're going to have some of the latest Disney news and rumors, and we're going to talk about some bars and lounges, some pros and cons around Walt Disney World. That's today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to Traveling with the Mouse. This is episode 372, and I am back. I am your host this week. I am Jason. I found my way out of a locked room. Adam and John had locked me away, threw away the key, told me to figure my way out, and it's been a long time coming, but I'm not going to hold it against them. I let them still join me today. I'll introduce them first. We have Adam.
What's up, everybody? How did you get out?
Well, it's like an escape room, right? I just had to just solve the clues, and eventually they let me out.
Darn it. We'll have to get on that.
Yeah, but I am back. It's exciting.
Welcome back.
We also have another co-host, John.
Disappear, disappear. Back, back, over the falls.
What? What happened to you while I was gone, John?
Oh, I was just, you don't know what that one's from?
No. Adam. Say it again? No, don't say it again. Tell me. Don't just tell me again. What it is.
It's an extinct attraction. Does that help?
What was it?
Maelstrom.
Oh, I should have known.
So what part is it now? Now you know.
Right? The Let It Go. Let it go.
That's what it is now, but it's right. It was the trolls, you know.
Right.
Telling you to. And then they pushed you back over the falls. But anyway, obviously, Adam, we were very successful at making a difficult escape room, apparently. So maybe we should do this and for money. Maybe we should, you know, start a business.
You could be locked up for a while.
Well, Adam had spoken the words that, you know, this week we should talk about our favorite bars and lounges at Disney. And so I just found my way out. I was like, oh, I got to get out. It turns out when I got out, it wasn't y'all that locked me in there. It was Chapek. He was trying to silence me. He heard what I had said, and he was trying to keep me quiet.
So that doesn't make any sense because he wants your wallet.
Right.
So.
Oh, that's true.
Maybe he just wanted his wallet, not him.
Right. Another 50 DVC points, and you can have a clue. Do you have to buy another 50?
Well, you have to just keep buying those DVC points. So as we're recording right now, by the time this comes out, this may be done. We might have the first Disney World completion in a very long time on the Every Ride Challenge. Richard Hurt and Kenny the Pirate are out running as we are recording. Looks like they're using evening magic hours, and they're pretty close to finishing at the start of our recording. I also saw that Marty King completed the 24-hour challenge, which is you have to ride everything in a 24-hour time span, even if it's two operating days. So that was interesting.
I didn't know that existed. So
they keep making up new challenges in the Every Ride.
Yeah, to kind of keep it going.
Because the original just can't be done anymore. It's
right. So they have all sorts of variations at this point.
To try and keep it interesting. I don't think it's really quite succeeding, though, but, you know.
I mean, the core crew that has always loved the challenges keep wanting to go back and do it. It's not attracting the, you know, attention. Randos, right, yeah, that yes, would yeah. like to do it. But, I mean, we pay attention for those that care about it. You know, it gives those of us that like the challenge of something to do in a theme park like that going. It's still not the same. But it's close.
See, the challenge we have in the new era is managing to go and not come back completely broke or with a second mortgage. That's the challenge.
Well, yes, even now you have to pay for the Lightning Lanes and the Genie. That's what you're going to have to get. And now a deluxe room if you want the Wednesday, the extra hours, which I don't... They may not even need it, but no, I think they do because 11 to 1... They're going to need a little bit of that time.
Well, I mean,
to finish.
If this past weekend's wait times are or any indication, right. Nobody really needs to even buy Genie.
There's still that pesky 1:47 p.m. park hopping time.
I forgot exactly what time it was I checked in, though. It was probably like there was maybe 1 to 2 hours left at Hollywood Studios, right? Even though I know it was in the last hour, Rise of the Resistance, right? Was anticipated 27 minutes.
Hmm.
Right.
I have never seen that.
Well,
never.
Tonight, as like I said, we're recording this. This is the night if you wanted to do it. If you're staying at a deluxe resort, you could ride whatever you wanted and over again. Because there's like hardly a wait for anything.
I'll be excited when they add the lounge to Magic Kingdom for those after hours. Because that's going to get to our later segment. But before we do that, yeah. I've been gone for a while. So I wanted to jump into some of the latest news. I've been keeping up with it.
Yeah.
What is it? There's one to me that just really stands out. So before the last time I was here, or it wasn't the last time, but one of the few times that I've been here over the last maybe 4 or 6 months, we talked about the Disney cruise that Adam and I went on. And one of Adam's favorite things on the Disney cruise was chicken tenders.
Yes, okay. Correct, yes.
And so the biggest news of the week for Adam is that he's probably going to be booking a trip to California any day now.
Why?
Because the Galactic Grill at Disneyland, the chicken tenders have returned to the menu along with a fried chicken sandwich.
Are they unlimited and you can just walk up and get them whenever you want?
You looks like you get 3 or 4 for $11.99 plus tax. It comes with seasoned French fries and a galactic dipping sauce.
I bet the tenders themselves aren't even the size that they once were. I bet they're smaller.
I ate my weight in chicken tenders on the cruise.
So the price still is a factor for you, I'm guessing.
I mean, if every plate of chicken tenders that you ate on the cruise is worth $11.99, you paid for the cost of your cruise.
I might have.
In chicken tenders.
Yeah. They give you 3 when you do room service instead of the 2.
Wow. So there's the secret right there.
The last night I ordered 2 orders of the chicken tenders.
I'm pretty sure you tried to order a pitcher of chicken tenders at one point. I'm not sure.
Of all the things you can order in room service on the cruise line, you chose chicken tenders.
Why not?
Well, I meant like, I ate at the restaurants too, but I'm just saying.
I know, but I'm saying you can order that room service, that stuff room service is what I'm getting at.
Well, yes, I didn't realize that. I just ordered off the room service menu. If I had known that, I would have ordered from the restaurants, but.
Yeah, no, like I could get lobster or something. Got any of that lobster left?
Prime rib, or I don't know, weird brother prime rib.
Wait a minute, where did that one come from?
Arrested development.
Yes. I'm sorry to break the biggest news first. I know we usually save the big story for the end, so, you know.
Well, I'm going to be like that guy at the Dodgers game. Did you see that guy that stuck the hole and threw the hot dog and used it as a straw? I'm going to do that to a chicken tender.
Okay.
You don't remember that? It went viral online. This guy like stabbed a hot dog with a straw or something and then turned his hot dog into a straw for his beer.
He must have really been bored.
Yeah.
So you're going to drink beer through a chicken tender?
Yes. I'm going to try to figure out how to do that.
Okay.
Through a chicken tender.
Yeah. You need to get to Disneyland ASAP.
Disneyland ASAP. It's happening.
Okay.
This is totally happening.
I think that's one way for us to go viral. You've been thinking about like something novel. Yeah. I think that's novel. Mm-hmm. Pretty novel.
What foods can I poke a hole in and use as a straw?
At Disney
World. Okay.
All right. So on to another story. Well, here's one that I saw that made me pretty excited.
Mm-hmm.
We are seeing the return of cultural representatives at Epcot.
Yes. So it's a good one.
That is exciting. I think that's one of the things we missed a lot during the pandemic. It helps a little bit, I think. Yep. Makes it a little bit special at Epcot, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, when you're ordering food at, say, like the China Pavilion, and this, you're like asking a question, and you're like, I don't know, you know.
When you're asking like Jim.
Yeah, exactly. From, you know,
Connecticut.
Yeah, yeah, that happened to me at Food and Wine. I think it was in 2020. When did we go? Whenever it was. And I was asking about something in Germany. I think it was one of the beers, whatever. She was just like, I have no idea.
It's a beer. It's a beer.
Right. She's like, yeah, I don't know. I got nothing. It's like, okay, never mind. Moving on. Because usually you can ask, you know, back in the day, of course. And they would tell you all about it, you know. But anyway.
So the next story I have up for grabs for us to react to is that Fantasmic's going to come back soon. They have begun rehearsals at Hollywood Studios, and it's rumored or pretty much confirmed at this point that the former Pocahontas scene is gone. But I don't know if anybody has been able to catch what they're going to replace it with. I've heard all sorts of speculation. One that made sense to me sounded like Encanto would be a good replacement, but thoughts there.
I got to say, that was the scene that Adam remembered the most from the first time he saw it.
Yeah. Dig and dig and
still
dig.
Still does. Dig. Yeah. I guess song, that's the part that sticks in your head.
Right. I mean, it's a catchy song.
I probably still won't go back and watch this. I'm sorry. I mean, that's just me.
How different is the Disneyland version from the Disney World version?
Well, for starters, they have Maleficent instead of Jafar for the big.
Yeah, there's a few. I knew creature. There were some differences, but I couldn't remember what.
That's
all,
one of the biggest ones I can think of.
If I'm down there, I'm going to go see it. I wasn't impressed the first time, but they've upgraded some stuff, it says. I feel like it's got to be better. Well, they have updated Enchantment, but other than that, it's got to be pretty good.
The thing about Fantasmic is, you walk 10 miles. There's even like a bathroom or whatever, like a snack stand on the way.
That's not a problem. You just stick the hole in the chicken tender and drink your beer as you're walking there. Done.
Well, then the problem, the payoff is Fantasmic. That's the end of that's the problem.
That's a good idea there. If they sell chicken tenders there, I think I might be more willing to do it again. Mm. I'll have to find out what the chicken tender situation is. And I'll be there.
We haven't gone to Food and Wine this year. Remember, we always liked that one where it put the pork belly in your drink. What is that? I forget which booth that is. Flame something, I think.
Flame Tree.
Is the
name of that.
No, the Flame Tree's Animal Kingdom.
That's a totally different thing.
It's the open smoke.
Yeah, it's like the pork, pulled pork booth. But anyways.
Something from fire.
Yeah. They drape that piece of pork over your drink. I think you need to open a booth next year, Adam, that has the chicken tender straws in the drinks.
Flavors from fire.
Flavors from fire. Oh, yeah, that's right.
I was trying to, I was like, I knew it had fire in it. Anyway.
Yeah. So okay. I don't know. When do we think Fantasmic may come back, seeing as they are now just starting the rehearsals? Do you think?
Christmas season.
How long did it take after they called back cast members for Lion King? A few months? A couple months?
That's what I say. I think they're doing it now because they plan on trying to use it for Christmas crowds.
Probably.
Do we see it in November at all?
I wouldn't rule it out.
They definitely need to soak up some crowds. I should do daytime shows of this. Wouldn't just quite have the same effect. I'm just saying that Hollywood Studios is where you need to have people go somewhere.
Yeah, you need somewhere for them to go hide, soak them up.
Yeah, right. So you ride something in the middle of the day without an hour wait or more. Anyway, yeah, I'm going to guess it'll open Thanksgiving-ish, Christmas-ish, sometime November, somewhere in there.
So, Adam, next story is also for you. If you are hankering for unlimited chicken fingers, I know one of the most stressful parts of our cruise was the test, the COVID-19 test.
Oh, right.
They're changing the rules that vaccinated guests are no longer going to be required to take the COVID-19 test in order to sell. So, you are vaccinated. You could just start booking back-to-back cruises and see how long you last eating chicken fingers.
So, they stopped doing the tests right before you get on, but they still were requiring you to test within 72 hours? Is that what it was?
No, you still had to do the test before you got on.
Really?
They just weren't providing it. That was like you could do it, the at-home swab or something in front of like a camera, like right within 24, something like that. Anyways, it's just not required anymore.
Now it's just no longer a thing.
Yeah,
well, it's not a thing.
Without getting too deep into it, based on what you had to do, Adam, to get your vaccination status approved, I would say it was probably not that hard to... to get the vaccination status approved.
What are you trying to say?
I'm just saying. I'm not saying there was any altering done. I'm just saying.
So, yes. Are you trying to refer to the fact that someone miswrote something on my...
Yeah, miswrote.
Vaccine card? Yeah.
So,
So just a couple more things to say. Since I'm back and I own the microphone, I'm going to take a little charge here. One is that Josh DeMauro disappointing us a little bit here. It seems that Chapek's got to him a little bit.
I think he's just showing what I said all along, actually, but just, you know, continue.
No. He was there crying with the cast members when they fired them.
I do realize that. That doesn't mean it was sincere still.
Yes. So Josh DeMauro made a statement that essentially the rising prices and basically how service has gotten worse is just an inevitable result of progress.
Yeah.
He's fallen to the dark side, hasn't he?
There's still good in him, though. I feel the conflict.
Oh, okay.
Do you think in the end, though, it's going to end like episode 6, where he's the one that's going to throw Chapek down the chute?
Yeah, possibly.
You know.
But then he dies too, so...
Well, yeah, but who is Chapek going to be electrocuting to, you know, with this force lightning?
Who is DeMauro's favored son?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Joe Rohde? He can come back and be CEO?
That would be disastrous, honestly.
Yeah.
Everything would go over budget.
Joe Rohde is a great idealist. I would not make him the CEO of anything. I'm just saying.
True.
No.
His meetings would be super long.
What makes a good CEO is someone who realizes that their role is to take everyone else's input and critique it, tweak it, whatever, and make it, you know, happen. You know what I'm saying?
I think their goal is to just execute, right?
Who are they? They execute people? Is that what?
Well, just execute on a vision and mission. Lay out a vision. Lay out a mission. Make sure the company steers towards it.
I guess they give the final okay, pretty much, right? But they shouldn't be like lords, like lord overs, I guess, like they are in some cases. Anyway, they technically still answer to the board.
They do. Obviously, the board likes Chapek, so he ain't going anywhere.
They like the fact that he's made them money.
And the board is accountable to whom?
The stockholders. There you go.
Exactly.
The vicious cycle. Speaking of the... actually, I don't know how I'm going to segue to this, but I did want to bring up that story about the guy in the fountain. Was he just trying to get, like, a viral video or something?
It's quite possible.
Yes. I mean, we had a report this week of guys surfing in the fountain, right?
Yeah.
Someone climbing a topiary at Remy's. Did you saw the video of the woman getting up into the scene at Space Mountain, right?
Yeah, the exit queue.
Like, there's just idiots everywhere.
And long time ago, somebody tried to churn butter on Carousel Parker's.
Oh, that person was on something.
Yeah, I forgot. Anyway.
Yeah, no, we have that. We have all of that happening. And then some idiot somehow ended up on Tron. I don't know. How did they get on that?
Several people have been on there somehow. I don't know.
But they've been running Tron.
Yeah. We need your take on this.
We've been seeing even more testing. 1 minute intervals is the latest testing tempo. So I had been listening to a couple of podcasts and you know, the Disney Dish pointed out that some of the operations things is they start doing continual operations at some point when they're trying to get the tempo ready. I don't think they're quite there yet. Obviously, we're not ready to open because I don't think there's a pathway to get to the ride that is paved yet. So it's not ready. But based on everything we've seen, the fact that nobody's got, you know, even an email about a save the date or anything, I'm going to guess we are going to see Tron open this year, December.
Okay. That's basically what I said.
You know, this is interesting because, in all seriousness, I feel like Disney really and truly is tracking these things since they've had this, I guess, opportunity to do so. They're actually spacing these attractions out on purpose now with the intention of opening something new during a time period when they think they're going to need it the most, when they think they're going to need it to be attracted to you know, attract more people. The data-driven era that we live in, I totally see them doing that. I really do.
Yeah. Well, We're definitely getting the announcement at D23, right? I mean, that's one thing that we, like, 99.9% sure we'll get at this date at D23, don't you think?
God help us. We better.
It'd be weird for them to announce it before D23, because why not just hold it? Because that'll be a big announcement. And,
How many years did it take to build this thing?
Five, at least. Yeah, I think it's going on five, right?
Wow. Right at
it. See, that's what I'm saying. I'm thinking the progress, they have gone as fast or as slow as they wanted to. I really do. Because, yeah. I mean, look at it. It made no sense from a construction and ride operation standpoint why it took as long for Ratatouille to open as it did. They were holding it, like we said, right?
Right, it was ready.
Yeah. They were holding it for the 20th, being the first one of these rides. And I think that they've kind of almost purposefully opened these things in intervals so far, if you think about it. Guardians got right in time for the beginning of the summer. I think it's on purpose. I think they could make these sooner than they really have been, is my point.
Well, they were able to space them out because they'd already started them. They haven't broken ground on anything new. Nothing is in the pipeline after Tron. Nothing. We have Journey of Water is not an attraction.
Well, it is.
It's not a ride.
Right. It's an attraction, though.
How many people does that eat up an hour?
I don't know, but it actually looks pretty cool from the parts I've seen.
It looks cool, but how many people does it eat up an hour?
I don't know. We'll have to see. We don't really know a lot about it.
Not 1,200.
No, not 1,200. They don't really do people eating attractions anymore now, do they? I mean, even the rides.
So, well, I mean, that's the thing is, okay, if nothing's broken ground yet, I mean, even the Splash Mountain redesign is mostly still on paper. I don't know if they even have a date to close it yet. What comes after Tron and when?
What's the next thing we know of after Tron? Princess and the Frog.
Hopefully an announcement at D23.
Okay, so a re-theme. Is there anything else new?
Well, most everything they do is in a previously used building.
No, but they need new stuff because there is what? How many years? Maybe we can even count it in months before Epic Universe opens and eats their lunch.
What was the last? It was intended for 2024 now? For Epic Universe, for Nintendo World.
I am raising a Disney kid, right? I've taken my kid to Disney a lot. He knows a lot about Disney. He is reading the Harry Potter series with me right now. He loves Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
They have what's going to be attracting my kid, a lot of these kids. Like, where's the response? Right? Like, are we gonna run into another thing where they wake up one day, like they did when they opened Harry Potter, and they're like, oh crap, we got to go build Avatar, we got to go build Star Wars, right?
See, in Adam's case, though, he's still going to hold out because that's just
I'm a loyalist.
Well, Adam's going to hold out.
That's how he rolls.
Adam's going to hold out, but is Adam enough?
No. I'm not enough.
There you go.
Yeah. We'll see at D23.
Yeah, at D23, they need to, like, do you think Mary Poppins area is coming back? Do you think they're going to revitalize that?
Remember the theater on Main Street? They're going to bring that back.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that one was canceled permanently.
Yeah, long time ago.
Or is it just going to be a bunch of new DVC towers?
Yeah. I don't know, man. That's a good question.
I mean, okay, Epcot's got a lot of love, so what do they need to add? Obviously, I feel like D23, they need to announce what's going to go where Primeval World used to be, because that is just sad. Have you seen the pictures of what's there recently? Mm-hmm. It's like a fence with like two benches.
It looks bad. I mean, it looked bad before.
Right. Imagine it's your first time at Disney, and the first park you go to is Animal Kingdom, and you don't know what you're doing, and you get to Discovery Island, and you take a right, and you walk, and you're like, what's the first ride I run into? Oh, it's a Bug's Life. Oh, that was cool. And then let's keep walking.
Triceratops. That's what you go to.
Right.
This park is fantastic. Yeah. I don't know, man. Okay. I think it's going to be Indiana Jones Land. I keep saying that.
How does that fit the theme?
It doesn't.
I mean, it's better than Zootopia.
It doesn't, but they obviously don't care about theming. I'm just saying. What is the overall theme of Hollywood Studios?
IP.
Pretty much, right? No consistency whatsoever. So, like I said, they don't care about theming anymore. That is not at the forefront of the mind, unfortunately. And Joe Rohde is no longer with the company.
No, it's seriously so, IP.
Pretty right? much.
What's the only thing that's non-IP? Rock and Roller Coaster?
Well, Tower of Terror is not really.
Do they not own Twilight Zone now or no? Is that that's the Jordan Peele stuff's not Disney?
Paramount, CBS, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, that says on CBS, yeah.
Yeah. They just had permission. And what I fear is that eventually if that runs out, that they'll have to change it and that they will probably screw it up.
They'll turn it into the Guardians version?
Yeah. I really hope that never happens, though. But it will eventually, unfortunately.
Okay, so Sunset Boulevard is the only place that's that's like non-IP Boulevard, right?
Basically, yeah.
That's what we could call it now.
Everything else is IP land.
We've talked about this many times, but Rock and Roller Coaster's days as Rock and Roller Coaster are probably numbered, right?
They're probably numbered, unfortunately, as well, yes.
Within the next 5 years, probably.
Possibly.
Something movie-related, something IP-related. Incredicoaster, East Coast version, something like that.
Sure. Well, the only precedence we have is the Iron Man, not the Iron Man, what was it? The Avengers coaster, whatever the name of it was. Now I forget.
I was working recently, and we had some interns this summer. On the last day, I sat down at lunch with the interns for their last day, and I felt about 100 years old sitting around with these interns. But I met with one of them, and this intern was telling me about one of his class projects, which was to do some natural language processing on the lyrics of his teacher's favorite band. And it was this band he had never heard of. It's called U2.
He had never heard of.
Never heard of the band. He's like, yeah, I've never heard of this band. It's U2. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm old.
Yikes.
I think Aerosmith's days are numbered as a sponsor for Rock and Roller Coaster. That's my point. If I'm running into people I work with that don't know who U2 is, they definitely don't know who Aerosmith is.
So. Well, I don't know. I think Aerosmith is a little...
U2 was put on everybody's iPhone without their permission, like a few years ago.
Yeah, I know, but what I'm saying is, I think Aerosmith actually carries a little more notoriety, believe it or not, than U2 does at this point.
U2 played the Super Bowl, didn't they?
How long ago?
I have no idea, but if it was Rock and Roller Coaster, that was one of those things on the trivia. Right. U2 was the first one asked.
Maybe the fact that they're on Rock and Roller Coaster itself actually keeps them noticeable or has notoriety.
Which current popular band would Disney pick to be on Rock and Roller Coaster if they were to keep the same sort of thing going?
They wouldn't.
No, if they had to pick a band or an artist or whatever you want to say.
That's what I was thinking. They're still bands nowadays? Well, Aerosmith was, they had been around for almost 30 years at the point that they were chosen. So I guess it could be a band from 30 years ago, technically, if they wanted to, right? That would still be relevant. Gosh, I don't know who you would pick. I can't think of a really good option, truthfully. I think that's one of the reasons. Most of the options that they chose... And by the way, when you mentioned U2, we already did in the Rock and Roller Coaster history that U2 wanted no part of it. They were actually asked. Yeah. So they wanted no part of it, so we know they're out. I don't know. I can't think of anybody. Rolling Stones wanted too much money. Of course, they're well past their relevancy.
If U2 had said yes to Rock and Roller Coaster, the launch would have been 1, 2, 3, 14.
Yes. Or actually, they would have actually said uno.
Right, uno, dos, tres, catorce.
I'm trying to think who they might pick. I mean, would it just be like maybe some sort of EDM mix, Some sort of DJ?
Psychic. Anyway.
I mean, it's Rock and Roller Coaster. Are there any current rock bands? I don't even know about modern music, to be honest with you. I stopped listening to most stuff about 5 years ago, if not longer.
Rock is dead. Rock and roll is dead.
Well, how many of these so-called new bands or new artists do they actually choose for the Super Bowl, huh? They usually go back a ways, don't they?
Well,
because the music now sucks.
They did go with that awesome J-Lo Shakira Super Bowl not that long ago. Anyways, let's go on to our main segment.
Yeah,
That was the news. Today, the reason I'm back is because I wanted to be. And okay. Also because we're going to talk about bars and lounges. To do this part, Adam, I know this is sort of your idea. I figured I can try to help navigate us. We're going to go down 10 different bars and lounges. And I think you're going to write up an article for our website about this as well. Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit about pros and cons. So we're going to go alphabetically with the 10 that we have selected. Or it looks like we may have...
I threw another one in there.
Oh, you threw another one in there. Okay, 11. When I think of this one, of the three co-hosts here, think of John here for this one, honestly. So I'm going to ask your opinion here, John, on Banana Cabana.
Oh, I rather enjoy Banana Cabana.
What's the pros for Banana Cabana? Which, by the way, if you want to visit Banana Cabana, it can be found at the Caribbean Beach Resort.
Pros would be, one of them is, I feel like it's location, to be quite honest with you, because it's a tropical location. That's one of my favorite things, you know, is...
So theming, I would say there.
Along the lines of Polly. Theming is big for me on those. I've always liked the more exotic, I guess, locations when it comes to resort.
Mm-hmm.
So your Caribbean Beach, your Polynesian, your Animal Kingdom Lodge, ones like that, along those lines. Mm-hmm. I've always liked those better. And the fact that the drink that I got there, I remember well, the Caribbean Smuggler, the first time that I went there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that was quite good. And the wings that I got there that first time that I went there were quite good. I mean, if I want a combination of good food and, you know, good atmosphere, good drinks, I think that's, I mean, that's, I can't think of any cons really there, except for maybe, I don't know, I'm trying to think of maybe space to a degree.
Okay. Adam, what's your cons?
Well, my pro was it's fun to say Banana Cabana.
Banana Cabana.
That's what my pro is.
It's always fun to say.
The con, I think, is it's too close to the pool, so there's a lot of noise, pool noise. Mm, mm. And like John said, too, space. I think it's not, it's one of the smaller ones, so there's not a ton of seating in that area.
I think it's a pretty good bar. We had a good time there, me and you, Adam, when we went, just the two of us. It's next to Sebastian's Bistro.
Good spot, yeah.
Oh, it's on the Skyliner. We forgot to do that, so it's part of the
crawl. But see, that's actually my con about it, is it's not really on the Skyliner. It is far from both the Riviera Station and the Caribbean Beach Station. Yes, it is.
Well, it's technically at the Caribbean Beach stop, though. I mean, just saying.
Do you think it's a shorter walk from Riviera's stop?
Almost, yeah. Maybe. It's probably easier to find it, because you can get lost in the Caribbean Beach, like, maze getting over there.
So what about the Epcot stop? I think everything you go to there is going to be further away.
Well, like Boardwalk? No, not necessarily.
Okay.
Kind of. I mean, well, it's easier to find, though. Like Jason said, if you're at the Caribbean Beach Skyliner Station, you got to cross some roads and go a couple of different trails. It's really hard to find it. Versus
to cross a road, technically.
But okay, one road. I get what you're saying. But still, I was trying to make it more dramatic.
I got you.
You do have to cross a road and go one of two different paths and then cut across the middle, or, you know, it's not super easy to find.
All right, we have an assignment, Adam, next time we're down. We're going to count the number of steps from the Skyliner to Banana Cabana.
From both stations.
Bar Riva.
It's going to be about the same from both stations.
Baseline Tap House. Like, how far from the Skyliner's baseline, Abracadabar, Banana Cabana, rank them on how close they are from a Skyliner.
Baseline is going to be much further, I'm just saying.
Not necessarily, you just got to go through the, I mean, Hollywood Studios is not that big, so.
No, it's not, but I find it hard to believe that it's closer than Banana Cabana.
I don't know, it's a straight shot, I mean, you go down and take a left. And
it costs more because you have to have a ticket, let's put it that way.
Yeah, well, you're at Disney, you're going to have a ticket. Anyway, okay, so do we have the cons figured out?
Yeah, I think the cons are how far it is from the Skyliner, the size of it.
Yeah.
Pros, we got a good bartender there, so we didn't call that out.
Yeah, she was good.
All right, so Bar Riva, next up on the list. I'll start.
Yeah, I'm going to say you should go with this.
This is my home resort. Pros, Chris, the bartender.
I knew you were going to say that.
No, seriously, though, it's a great bar. It has a lot of good selections. It's right next to Primo Piatto, but you can also get the Primo Piatto menu plus a little bit more at a Bar Riva. It is really close to the Skyliner. So if you're doing a Skyliner bar crawl, great. We've had a Riviera pool day. Great. Just if you're going to go to a hotel bar, this is in my opinion, one of the best, right? We're going to talk later about Enchanted Rose. We're going to talk about Trader Sam's Tiki Terrace. We're going to talk about the Outer Rim, all the ones that are on the monorail. The only one that may even come close to being like on non-bus transportation at a resort, maybe Tiki Terrace, which we'll talk about later. But otherwise, I think this wins. Like, if you're at a park and you're like, hey, I want to get away from the crowds, I want to get out of the park.
Yeah.
This is an easy stop.
It's good. Yeah. Primo Piatto, fantastic food, as we said. So you got the food and the drink vibe there. Definitely pro.
Okay, what's the cons? Because I have none, so y'all go.
I was just going to say, you mentioned about getting away from the parks, the cons. Getting there if you don't stay in that area, or if you're not staying in that area.
Just if you're at Epcot or Hollywood Studios, it's during your hop. Like, I'm hopping from Epcot to Hollywood Studios. On the way, I'm going to stop at Bar Riva and get a shot. Why not?
Right, but if you're not staying at that resort, that's what I just said. If you're not staying in that resort area, you have to get on the Skyliner, which you may have driven there, right, to Hollywood Studios. Let's just say you're at Hollywood Studios. You may have driven there. Or if you may have taken the monorail to Epcot, you got to go all the way to the back. It's not exactly easy for people that aren't staying in that area to get to, is my point. That would be a con, I would think.
I have stayed not there, and I've gotten there every time, so I don't know about that.
Again, I'm just saying it's not obvious. But you had motivation.
Well, we've done it before, and we know we like it, so we're going to go out of our way to get to it.
You have motivation. If it's not on the way to anything, is my point.
The average guest may not think to go there, which is another pro, because it's not... I've never seen it, like, so busy that there's a long line or anything like that.
That's a pro part. But if you want to come with a con, I was just trying to say, it's not exactly one that you would think of, oh, it's on the way to this, or it's on the way to that.
No, if you want one that's out of the way, let's talk Gurgling Suitcase. You got to get all the way to Old Key West. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's pretty much only visited by people who are staying there. You know, I don't know that there's a lot of opinions formulated about Bar Riva so far. It's still too new.
I feel like it's got a pretty big cult following. And by that big cult following, it's me and Adam.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it made the list for, what was it, touring plans? Didn't they make the list for them? So...
Yeah, it's a good bar. It's a good bar.
Chris thinks we have a man crush on him, probably.
Yeah, I think if he listens to this show, it's going to only solidify that. Because the last time we were there, our wives decided to go over and just talk about how much we thought Chris was great while he was there, to him, while we were sitting in the other side of the restaurant.
And he looked over, like, oddly at us, like, okay.
I'm going to say, did either of you guys, like, slip him your key while you were there? I mean...
No.
Okay. Didn't go that far? Okay.
No.
But yeah, it just goes to show they don't remember you as much as you remember them. You know, made us so many memorable drinks, and he doesn't even remember who we are.
You know, you have to remember one guy. He has to remember two out of, like, I don't know, 5 million. Yeah. I don't know. That's a lot.
Unacceptable. Next one on our top 11 list that we're considering.
Are you writing the cons down, by the way? Because I have a con for Bar Riva.
Oh, okay. What's the con?
Well, you said it's close to the Skyliner. I wouldn't say it's close. It's on the far end of the resort. You have to walk through quite a bit of the resort to get there.
Practically at the bathroom. I mean, come on.
The thing I would say about Bar Riva, I love it as far as, like... you know, the atmosphere of the resort, but the atmosphere of the bar itself, I don't normally want to sit in there and eat. I'd rather go out to the, like, courtyard area, or the pool, whatever, but if we're staying there, the pool, but if otherwise it would be that courtyard area and let the kids run around versus hanging out in the actual bar. It's not very big, not a great theme. It's okay, but yeah, I would say theming is... not, like, super great there, so.
I couldn't help but think about, you know, you guys were, like, talking about Chris or what have you. I couldn't help but think about a moment whenever, you remember Fred from the Polynesian?
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, years later or whatever, and I think your dad had, like, requested, you know, him, and, like, and he's just like, hey, Fred, and everything, and he just has this blank stare, like, am I supposed to know who you guys are? type deal. But he's probably had that a couple of times as long as he had worked there, truthfully.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't help but think about that, because I remember that moment, because he was just, like, looking, like, staring straight ahead because he was probably like 60 at that point or something like that. I don't know. But he was still there. So.
Right. Well, it's probably like Richard Girth at Grand Floridian who greeted people forever. A lot of people knew him, but he was just like, hey, you know, tons of people took pictures with him, including me. I took my picture with him. But, you know, he's just got used to it over the years. Like, oh, everybody knows him, so.
I mean, that guy had worked in, like, luggage service the entire time at the Polynesian. I mean.
Hell yeah. Probably since day
one.
That
says something. Yeah.
So we're going on to a favorite of this podcast, and that is the Baseline Tap House, which, if you'd like to visit.
I'm unfamiliar with this one.
It's in Hollywood Studios. It opens at 10:30. And very popular. I would line up by rope drum. I'm just kidding.
Well, you're right about the popular part. If you don't want to have to wait, you definitely want to rope drop it.
True. We'll get the pros out of the way of Baseline Tap House. We've already mentioned some of them already in this podcast. A little bit more affordable.
Yes.
Than others. The beer selection is better than a lot of the other places. The best deal on charcuterie you can find.
That's a good point, too, yeah.
On property.
We didn't really say that. Strike that from your memory, Chapek.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Don't let Chapek hear that, but yes.
It's the best deal on that.
It is.
Was.
By far. Well,
the music is... Yes. Everybody wants that too. Everybody wants that soundtrack.
Yes. And it's on Spotify, so...
What exactly is the music?
It's like lounge versions of pop songs.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Loungy versions, yeah.
Little lo-fi, acoustic... remixes of pop songs.
I know a con for Baseline.
You have to pay for a park ticket.
Well, okay. The con that I know our wives would mention is the cocktail selection is there's like two. So.
True. Well, it is called Baseline Tap House.
Correct. But not everybody wants just beer when you go to a place. So
it's a tap house.
Yeah, but they could have more than two cocktails, right? I mean, okay. They could have more. My wife in particular would say that, although she does love the California Sunset one, that's the one she always gets, but she never gets a beer there because she doesn't drink beer, so. And I would say the food selection, the charcuterie is good, that puff pastry thing they have is good, but otherwise, they don't have a ton of options food-wise, so.
I'm not going to say it again.
They have the pretzel as well. It's better than the Mickey pretzel you buy.
If you were to go over to, what was that? What's that place over at Boardwalk? I bet you would find a similar style of menu. It was going to be very beer heavy, limited number of cocktails, and similar food. I'm just saying. The big, what is it called? Big City
Brewery.
Something like that. Works in brewery.
Brewery.
But anyway.
I wonder what it's like to work in the kitchen at Baseline Tap House. You're like, okay, we're going to make the same three things again today.
Yeah. And the almonds. Don't they still have the almonds?
Yeah.
They're not as good, though.
All right. Let's move on.
Yeah.
This one I only have minor experience with because we were a little rained out last time. So, Adam, you might have to take the lead here.
Yeah.
Pros and cons of the Brown Derby Lounge. Now, my con is I didn't get to experience it, so there's my number one.
Right. Pros, though, are unique selection of drinks. Food was really good.
I was going to say, you get to get a piece of the Brown Derby without actually sitting down, right?
Right. So, Brown Derby, it's a really good place for people watching as well, because you're kind of out by that outdoor, it's outdoors, so you're in that area.
Not in a creepy kind of way.
Well, yeah, but it's a nice, it's a cool area.
I get what you mean.
Cons, though, not good for large groups.
Because it's small?
Yeah, we've had some issues at Brown Derby.
Yeah.
It's not good for large groups because it's small?
Yeah, very small. So yeah. it's just this one little patio.
I was just about to say, you can get the Cobb salad if you wanted there, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yes, you can.
Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Yep. You can order it.
You can get their like number one item at the bar if you wanted to.
Yep. And the grapefruit cake for dessert. They also have a grapefruit cake martini, which I thought was really good. So, although it wasn't as good the second time I got it, but anyway.
Okay. Yeah. So... the cons were small. Was there any other cons?
I don't know. It's first come, first serve. It is popular, so depends on timing as to whether you can actually get in. Gotcha. So.
See.
All right. Moving on. Dahlia Lounge. Adam, you get to take the honors here, I think.
Well, it's got a fantastic name. I'll give it that.
You have to say that. I mean...
Yes. No, The views are spectacular. You've got indoor, outdoor, so you've got really good options. It's big. I would give it that. For a lounge, it's huge. I think it, out of the ones we've talked about so far, it's probably the biggest of them ones we've gone through so far.
It very possibly.
It's big. You got lots of room.
Oh, it's big.
It's real big. I'll put it this way, too. I don't normally like gin and tonic drinks, but their gin and tonic special, I forgot what it's called. What's it called? Anyway, fantastic. Food options are really good there. It is pricey. That might be a con. It's a little pricey for some of the food options. Like, that charcuterie is like $30, isn't it?
Good
but
Lord.
It's got a lot more on it than at the baseline.
Well, true, but still.
It's a little more upscale.
Definitely upscale, yeah. But it's, yeah, and I've had incredible service there every time I've been there. I think, Jason, you guys had even better service than I.
Yeah, I think it was Daniel was his name, bartender, yeah, who just fantastic. Was massive Disney fan and talked to us. Yeah.
Nice views.
Yeah. Yeah, incredible views.
Here's the pros. I went there after I completed the challenge. So, an amazing place. Food is great. Great views. Cons are, it's a little bit out of the way. So, unless you're staying.
Pricey. Right.
I don't know. For the quality of what you're getting, it's not terrible. Okay. Especially when we got our next one that's coming up. Like, compared to that, not pricey. I mean, we are talking maybe $15 cocktails, which is pricey. But you don't need that many there to not be able to make it down to your room at the
Grand Prix. It's probably a better food option than Toledo. I'm just saying.
Oh, I would rather go to Dahlia Lounge than Toledo any day of the week. Absolutely. Adam knows my feeling on tapas restaurants.
Yeah, I'm not a fan either.
Yeah, you go to tapas restaurants to spend $100 and everybody goes home hungry. We all ordered a bunch of small stuff and shared it, and I would like more food to eat, but I'm out of money now. Whereas at Dahlia Lounge, I'm less upset that I'm eating tapas because I'm there for the drinks, and the tapas are more like, oh, I want a little snack while I'm having a drink.
Yeah.
You know, I like that better.
Yeah. That's kind of what I said when I did my trip report. I was like, Toledo's is just aight for me, dog. It was aight.
Okay. That's taking it back to American Idol, Randy.
I ate at Toledo the year it opened.
Yeah, it was just hype, yeah.
It was...
See?
The stuff that was good, they had at Dahlia Lounge. I mean, honestly, like...
Yeah. Given the choice, I would pick Dahlia Lounge at just any lounge. Time. And I would just eat food there. I would prefer that, yeah.
It's great. So since we talked about pricey, let's start with our next one on the list. Enchanted Rose.
Yeah. Talk about
way too expensive. I can't
imagine why.
Insane.
You weren't enchanted? You have to be enchanted to go in there?
Yeah, it's a decent sized space, though. You've got the outdoor, you've got a couple of different rooms in the bar area. I would say one of the pros actually is kind of the fanciness of it. If you like that kind of thing, I think that can be a pro. The expensive part is a con, I would say, because it's probably the most expensive lounge on this list. Well, aside from maybe Oga's.
The food, in my mind, just okay.
I liked what we got, but I mean,
based on what I've seen, I'm not really all that impressed. But then again, we are talking about a resort in which I typically don't go any further than the monorail floor whenever I get off of there, and that's very rare. Yeah. So,
yeah, it's hard to come up with some really good pros here. I mean, the drink was the reason I put fancy as a pro was the guy who made those. What was it? The old fashioned, the $25 one. It was really nice.
$25. I used to think that was expensive, and then the Galactic Star Cruiser came along. So
yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, $5,000. Call me back when it's $5,000. No, but. It was good. I mean, it was really cool. Honestly, though.
So, it's a good old fashioned. Right. I will give them that.
It was very good. But the thing, it was fancy.
The Manhattan at Dahlia Lounge.
Yes, better. That's the one I was thinking, yeah. Yeah.
By
yeah.
a mile.
Well, cheaper. Okay. Yes, good. But what I was going to say was at Topolino's at Riviera, ordered an old fashioned for dinner, and they had the Riviera logo imprinted in the ice, and the ice was also, like, you know, clear, you know, no clouds in the ice, which is what Enchanted Rose had too, but this one had the Riviera logo imprinted in the ice as well. And I was like, okay, it's a step up, and it was still cheaper than $25, so.
That literally costs, like, nothing, though.
What, to imprint on the ice?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe it costs more than I think, but.
No, but just the way they did it, it was even ice. More fancy than Enchanted Rose was, is what I'm trying to say.
Clear ice less. Is not, clear ice is a thing. It's hard to do. It's not easy to do.
It's hard to do, yeah.
But what I'm saying, though, is it's like it's going to melt in, like, how long? I mean.
Yeah, but it's still impressive, though, when you see it. It's still impressive. Most impressive.
Okay. I mean, you have to appreciate the details here. I mean, come on. We're at Disney. That's all the point.
The details at last.
We're going to Adam's favorite. Yes. We're going to Adam's favorite. Next. We're going straight from E to L. La Cava de Tequila. Oh,
it's just Adam's favorite?
I think it is not my favorite.
Barbas. Gotcha. Shout out to Barbas for this already.
Yeah. Tequila. That was a fun time. I actually got to sit down for the first time last time with you. So that was fun.
So, yeah, Barbas is amazing as a server. So, you know, he's probably the only server that actually remembered us, but mostly because of my son. He was like, buddies with my son. So he remembers because of that. I think the drink selection here is really good. I might be partial to tequila drinks, so maybe that's why. But I do love the drinks here. And sitting down is amazing. The queso and the guac, plus the chips that they have there. I remember we were like awing over the chips. So if you do get lucky and get a table, chips, guac, and queso is a must. And I think the drinks are top-notch here. They are very expensive. That would definitely be a con. It's expensive, and it's extremely difficult to get a table most times because there's only like 5 tables. So space.
I was about to say that brings you to a con, right? The size. It's a cave. I mean, the name literally means the cave.
You can walk up to the bar.
You can, yeah. Right. Most people
do. The price, I'm gonna contend against, because the price is high. But the dollar per alcohol by volume might not be that bad. Well, maybe just tequila. Just because tequila's different.
Any place
you drink one of those, you're ready to sing on Grand Fiesta Tour, is all I'm gonna say.
Any place where you can get a old fashioned margarita is okay with me.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. The corn old fashioned is amazing there. Also, the atmosphere, I was going to say that too. The atmosphere, I think, is one of my favorites. It's just heavily themed, of course. And you walk out and you're still in the Mexico Pavilion, and it's amazing. And
it's nighttime in Mexico.
Right. You have a ride. It's always night. It's always awesome. This is top 5 for sure. Top 3 has to be. Top 3, right? Do you agree with that? At least top 3 of this list?
I'll give it that.
At least top 3. And it could jump up my list. One day I'm going to do the tequila experience.
Oh my gosh, yes. That tasting. I want to do that so bad.
I did the flight. One of the flights last time.
Yeah, flight was good. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Top notch. This is definitely one of the best.
Okay, next up. This got a lot of votes on our Twitter poll.
This won by a lot. Yeah.
By a lot. The Nomad Lounge, which Adam, you and I have only been once, and we've heard a lot about it, and I'm glad we went. Instant favorite for everybody.
Yeah.
Food, amazing. We ordered the whole menu, it feels like.
Yeah. Atmosphere.
Drinks, amazing. Atmosphere, great.
Detail.
The only reason we hadn't gone earlier is because we were always all about Satuli Canteen.
Yeah.
Which is close by. But we ended up doing both. So.
Yeah, we did. We did. We ate lunch and then we went there. Yeah.
But Nomad Lounge, to me, we've joked about going out of our way just to go eat at Satuli Canteen. I would go out of my way just to go to Satuli Canteen and Nomad Lounge at the end of a day. Like, you know, Animal Kingdom's closing in a couple hours. Let's go hit up Satuli Canteen. That sounds like, go hit up Nomad Lounge. That sounds like a good idea to me at this point. You know, it's fantastic.
Nomad Vagabond, call me what you will.
I think, what's the con? The con might be...
You'll stay there way too long.
You'll stay there way too long, spend too much money. Yeah.
I was trying to think. The drinks were really good. There was one or two that were really good, but then there was another one I ordered that wasn't great. They have a lot of unique options, but I think you got to kind of...
Has there ever been such thing as a bar that every drink is good? I mean, seriously.
Macawa, so far. In my opinion.
You haven't ordered every one on the menu, though, either.
I've ordered a lot of them, put it that way.
Okay, I've ordered maybe I'm underestimating your skills, yeah. I guess.
I've tried most of them at this point. It's not like I did it all in one sitting. Okay, what's a con, Jason?
Satuli?
It's good on space, right? I mean, it's great on space, right?
Yeah.
Just imagine the day that we have Club 33 and we can go to Nomad Lounge, the Club 33 Lounge, and Satuli all on the same day right there. Like, they're all right there clustered together.
Gosh, what is a downside to this? There's got to be
one. It's an Animal Kingdom. We barely go to Animal Kingdom.
Okay. Is that really a con, I guess?
No, because I love Animal Kingdom. Even though we don't go there that often, I really love Animal Kingdom.
Yeah. I think it's one of those parks that there are people who like it and... But it's hard to get everyone in your party to like it. Maybe that's where that kind of goes in. Like, I think it's more likely that they're going to like the other three parks over this one. If they're going to have one that they're going to normally somebody's going to be not like, it's going to be this one. So,
yeah. If I go down there anytime by myself, then I'm just hanging out. I kind of want to have a day where I just get lost and just spend all day wandering Animal Kingdom because it's a fantastic park.
I really like doing the walk animal, I mean, what do you want to call it, tours. I mean, I really like doing both, though. That's what I'm thinking. I kind of prefer Pangani, or what they call the Gorilla Falls one now. It used to be Pangani. I like that one a little better, but I mean, I like them both.
They're both good, yeah.
And, of course, it houses the best roller coaster in all of Walt Disney World. So
second best, but yeah, I agree, yeah.
I mean, it is the best roller coaster in all
best
world.
Themed. It's sure. Probably the best themed roller coaster, but
the last
not the best.
Original attraction that has so far, a whole 15, 17 years ago, however long it's been. 16 years ago right now.
Is Joe Rohde a pro for this Nomad Lounge as well? Mm-hmm. Joe Rohde. It's definitely very heavily influenced by Joe Rohde. Here's a possible con that I just thought of. And in the indoor space in particular, the tables were very close together, so close that we ended up holding someone's baby. Remember that?
What?
Yeah, I remember that. That they were like, oh, hey. And, like,
hold my baby.
You know, we had had quite a few drinks, and I think
trusting soul.
My wife. I think it was probably my wife. That was it like, was. I'll hold your baby.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, she held that baby for a little while. Okay. So the tables were close together. I mean, is that a con, you think? A little close contact here?
What would you consider this, a pro or a con? I'm not sure. It's not in the most obvious location, maybe? Like, it's not exactly the easiest to find if you're not already looking for it, perhaps? Well, I guess if you're going to Pandora, you might notice it, but...
Yeah, maybe not as many people notice it, but I think most people know it's there.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I just feel like it's one of those things that it probably gets a little more noticeable now that Pandora exists. I imagine back whenever the only thing you would take you in that direction was Camp Minnie Mickey, it probably didn't get quite as much foot traffic. But
didn't we have to wait like 30 minutes to get in too, or no?
So okay,
oh, we
so
did. We did.
It's gained a reputation, obviously.
Right. It's popular for a reason. Yeah. So maybe that's
just
a drawback.
Like just walking, most people might not really necessarily notice, I guess. It's one of those things that people have to have heard of, I guess. Is you know what I mean? They would have had to have been looking for what's good lounges on Walt Disney World, which a lot of people do nowadays, is probably one of the reasons why it gets that. Like
there's
you
a
know,
reason.
That's how the news traveled so fast of the Dole Whip back in the day was through internet, right? That's why everybody started going to get one.
Right. I have it. Okay.
All right. We have three more to go.
Let's
We're almost there. Oga's Cantina. Pros, theming. Cons, drink suck. Done. No, I'm just kidding.
Basically.
Oga's, I'm having trouble finding pros. I'm sorry.
Theming.
I mean, I get the theming. I guess the theming, yes, but I mean, once you've done it, truthfully. I mean...
To me, fun atmosphere is Rex. They do, you know, the bar shuts down and they're kicking everybody out. And then, oh, wait, let me hit it with a hammer and it comes back on.
But again, once you've experienced all this, do you really have a reason to repeat going there?
Music. I'm going to go music again. DJ. What is,
that's your repeat. That's the reason you're going to go back there next time you go, right?
No, it's a fun atmosphere. Beer selection, I would say, is good, is the only thing that's good there.
You used to have to wait in line, so I don't know if that's still the case.
Yeah, you do. Okay, so con.
Another con.
It's over-popular, overpriced, overrated.
Over-popular, overpriced, overrated. Drinks are too sweet. Food is garbage.
They didn't put enough seats for the level of popularity. I mean, they should have known better. You know what I mean? It just goes with all the other problems I have with Galaxy's Edge, truthfully. So
I was.
You're dropped into Galaxy's Edge for the day, and they say you got to eat there. Where do you eat? It's got to be Ronto. Ronto.
It's
got to
be Ronto.
Right?
That's about the only place that's worth it.
That's all I would pick is Ronto. Docking Bay 7, maybe, but Ronto would be my first choice.
All right. Here's another one that's going to get quite a few cons. We threw this in there because we're going to end up with everything on the monorail. So we've already talked about Enchanted Rose. Let's go to the Contemporary, to the Outer Rim. Adam, you and I went there, and pros are... I honestly have no idea.
I mean, I guess location in terms of, like, everything is right there. Like, you've got the shopping, you've got the restaurants, you've got...
It's right next to Chef Mickey's, which is a madhouse. It's
in the
middle
people.
Of that. Yeah. Right, like, and it's small. It's not, like, secluded at all. It doesn't feel like... You wouldn't walk up and be like, oh, there's the lounge. You're like... What the heck is going on in this area of the hotel? Like, why is everybody, you know. We got our drinks and walked back over to Contempo Cafe because people were eating. Like, nobody wants to hang out there. So, I would say this is, we often brag about Contemporary for the views, the convenience. They have some of the best food. But of the lounges, bars, of the three monorail resorts, this is by far the worst, in my opinion.
You have views of Bay Lake. That's the only thing I can come up with as a pro.
Well, I was going to say, as far as Contemporary goes, I think you have a better option just going to the pool bar.
Probably.
Oh, yeah, really? Outer Rim is just there because they needed something in that space, more than less. And if you just happen to be over there, I mean, it's not terrible, but I mean, it's nothing worth just like writing home about. Yeah. But
I would say go to Steakhouse 71 instead of the bar if you're really looking for a drink.
There you go. I mean,
that's a better option. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not much to say about this one.
Yep.
I can't even remember the name of the pool bar, but I know it. I've been there before. But.
Okay.
Contemporary Pool Bar. That's the name. No, I'm just kidding. let's go to the Polynesian, to Trader Sam's Tiki Terrace. And let's encompass both the indoors and the outdoors.
The reason why I chose the outdoors is because kids are not allowed inside, and so therefore. We haven't been able to do it.
Based on what I've seen, the inside looks a little small to me.
It is small. The inside is very small, yeah. From what I've seen as well. They let me look in the door, but that was all.
Yeah.
Okay, pros. I like the theme. I like that.
Live music. Yeah. A lot of nights there's live music.
They have the themed shot glasses you can get and stuff like that. Cons?
Captain Cook's is another pro, by the way. It's right next
to
Captain
Cook's. Yeah, I know. I knew you were going to say that. Yeah. Location's another pro. Cons, the drinks are a bit sweet, just in my opinion, on the whole.
A lot of rum-based, which, you know, you kind of have to have a taste for rum.
Yeah. I like rum.
Views are good. It's small, though. It's hard to get in once it gets busy.
I guess, although I've never had trouble getting a table there, to be honest. Not like the indoor part, I'm sure, is hard to get in, but the outdoor part, I've never had trouble.
I mean, I remember us a couple of times ago sort of walking around looking for a table for quite a while, waiting for somebody to stand up.
Really? All right. I got rained out sitting there once where we had to leave because it rained on us. But otherwise, I don't know, there's not a ton of bad about this one.
Yeah, no, of the three on the monorail, it wins.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, this one's
so, monorail, Trader Sam's Tiki Terrace, my number one. I would put Enchanted Rose number two and Outer Rim as number three.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, that was an easy one.
Yeah. Okay, on the Skyliner, we only put three on here. We had Banana Cabana, Bar Riva, and Baseline Tap House. This one might be a little bit more contentious. There are other ones that you can get to from the Skyliner, but let's just rank those three.
Bar Riva's one. Wait, are you saying Baseline? What did you say?
Yeah, Baseline's on the Skyliner. Baseline. Oh,
Brown Derby Lounge technically is too.
Baseline, Brown Derby Lounge, Banana Cabana, and Bar Riva.
So I'd say Baseline, Bar Riva, Banana Cabana, then Brown Derby.
Okay.
I would say Bar Riva, number one, Baseline, number two, Brown Derby, number three, and Banana Cabana, number four.
Okay. So I know you said you didn't want to do this, but could we come to a consensus on what the top five are overall?
Okay, let's start knocking out things that are not in the top five.
Outer Rim.
Out.
Yeah, Outer Rim's definitely out. Oga's out.
Yes, Oga's is out.
Enchanted Rose is out.
Out.
Brown Derby Lounge, I think, is out.
I think so, too. Yeah. So that's four gone. We're down to seven. We only need to get rid of two more. Banana Cabana, in my opinion, out.
Yeah, I'd take it out overall.
Okay, so that's five gone. You had 11. We need to get rid of one more. We have Trader Sam's, Nomad Lounge, La Cava, Dahlia Lounge, Baseline, and Bar Riva.
Which one do you cut?
I hate to say this.
Trader Sam's.
Yeah, I think I would cut Trader Sam's. I
think so too.
The con is drinks are too sweet. And I agree. The drink selection is not my favorite.
Okay, so that leaves our top five, not in any particular order, Bar Riva, Baseline, Dahlia, La Cava, and Nomad.
So those are our top five.
No particular order, you say?
Right.
I mean, if we're going to go in my particular order, it would be Dahlia Lounge number one.
Oh, okay. Right. You have some memories there, so that makes sense.
Nomad or Bar Riva number two for me? Those are getting up there. And La Cava. I'd actually, of those five, surprisingly put Baseline at the bottom.
Yeah.
Even though you rope drop it.
I mean, it's the best thing to do in Hollywood Studios, but if you put all five of those in Hollywood Studios and ask me to rope drop one, I'm going to rope drop Dahlia Lounge.
Does that say something about the state of Hollywood Studios, the best thing to do there is a bar?
I think for me, it would be La Cava number one, number two, probably Baseline, number three, Dahlia Lounge, number four, Nomad, number five, Bar Riva. And that's still like...
It's interesting.
Bar Riva is still amazing, yeah. Just because it's at number five doesn't mean it's not good. These are five that I will go to every single time.
Well, I'm with you fellas.
Yeah. You're voting for yours truly?
I don't know if I were going to rank those. I think I'm going to put Nomad at the top, just like the voters said. You know, I haven't actually been there, but based on hearing you guys talk about it, I'm going to go along with one of your suggestions and say Bar Riva is at number two. And let's see, what else was there?
La Cava, Dahlia, and Baseline.
Okay, so I'm going to go La Cava 3, then Dahlia, then Baseline.
So somehow I've got to turn this into a top five that we all could agree on. I don't think that's going to happen, but...
No, of course not.
It's all over the board, right?
Maybe I won't rank them then, I'll just list them.
The listeners get the tiebreaker on this one, so Nomad's
number
one.
They said Nomad's number one.
Yeah, so Nomad's
number one. Which I feel like a couple more visits to Nomad, it might get up there for me. I mean, Dahlia's got sentimental... But if I finish the challenge again and finish at Nomad, maybe.
I guess if we put Nomad number one, none of you would argue with that, right?
Yeah.
Like, you'd be okay with it.
I could see it, yeah. It definitely...
You could live with that.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not like Outer Rim's number one.
No.
So, right. If it's nothing like that...
Gurgling Suitcase number one.
Yeah, right.
Where do you get that name?
Dahlia Lounge was number two in our poll on Twitter, followed by La Cava and Baseline.
Dahlia Lounge is so good. It is so good.
It's hard to go wrong with any of those. It's hard to go wrong with Nomad or Dahlia Lounge when in terms of theming or, you know, atmosphere, views...
Well, how are we going to get down there? We need to get the three of us down there, and we need to see these places. We need to count the paces from the Skyliner to each of these, and from the monorail to each of these. And we got to really figure this out, because our listeners want
to
know.
Well, I don't know if we need to go this route, because right now with food and wine going on, maybe we need to do best booths, right? No?
Well, that's the problem with best booths, in my opinion.
So many of them?
Is there... There's a lot of bad ones.
Yeah. Well, and two, it's very dependent on one's palate.
And the top
palate.
One is Italy.
Yeah. But well, I'm saying it's very dependent on one's palate.
It's very subjective, yeah. Very subjective. Yeah.
I'm really waiting until they add the chicken tender straw booth, but that's just me.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
They're going to add a specific booth for Adam. It's called the Disney Cruise Line Chicken Tender Booth.
Oh, it's going to start in the tent area. That's where it's going to start out. They don't want to put too much money in it right away.
It's going to start out in the Awesome Planet. They're going to put it in there.
Yeah, that's where they're going to put it. They're going to put it there.
Well, it'll get me to visit it, so it'll work.
Yeah, that's what they should have a spot along Living with the Land where someone just hands you a drink as you're riding along. Like, here, sir, would you like?
I was going to say, prior to Awesome Planet being in that thing, the Circle of Life actually did host a pavilion here recently. I don't know if they're still doing it.
Anyways, I think we've milked this long enough. This has been a show. It was good to talk to you all again. And for those of you who are wondering, there's just been a lot going on in my life. And I will show up when I can. I hope to make it a more regular thing, but I was glad to be here tonight.
It was good to have you.
Good to have you.
Especially given the topic.
Yeah, given the topic. And hopefully we'll be able to get down there soon. I have some hopes that maybe, just maybe, even if it's just me, maybe I can convince Adam to go. John, I don't know if you've got some free time. I kind of want to go to one of these Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween parties, if I can.
Okay, I'm out.
He's out.
I want to give it a shot.
I guess you didn't listen to last week's yet, or whatever. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago.
No, I want to go.
You say you kind of want to go, so you better go start looking now because, you know, there's not going
to
be any.
I know, I've looked. I have to wait till basically October at this point if I'm going to go.
Yeah.
You might want to think about Christmas parties.
You have to wait till basically October and not October 31st.
Yeah, for sure.
Remember when they used to sell season passes? Anyway. That's it for today. It was a good show. It was good to talk to you all. If you want to hear more about us, where should you go?
Well, we have Facebook, we have Twitter, we have Instagram. That's all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store in which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. And we have a YouTube channel that you can go check out.
And you can also visit our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. You can email us podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. And if you'd like to help planning your next trip to one of these lounges, you can reach out to our travel agent friend, Jill Dilbeck. Her email address is jilldilbeck@gmail.com. You can also visit our website for links to all of that and more.
So, for John, Adam, this is Jason. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and I hope you will join us on our next trip.
If someone's going to actually email her now and say that they can get their lounges booked through her.
Well, that's her problem.